Order. Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Cardozo?
Here.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Here.
Councilmember McPherson?
Here.
Mayor Steer?
Here. And if you will stand for me, we have Stan Johnson from CUNA Life Church for the invocation.
Amen.
Now, if you join me for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Stan. Enjoy your game.
We did play City of CUNA last week.
Oh, how'd that go?
I'm smiling.
We never have to heckle Warren. Cardozo does it for us.
Uh-huh. I swear that clock is like 3 minutes fast.
You were held up by a train, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was the train in Meridian.
All right. First item is the consent agenda. Any questions or comments? Or?
If nothing, I move we approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Motion is made and seconded to approve the consent agenda. Is there any further discussion? Chris, would you call the council?
Councilmember Cardozo?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
And that motion carries. Thank you. Next, we have discussion on vehicle registration fee increase. We have Commissioner Kent Goldthorpe from Ada County Highway District. If you would like to come to the podium, sir, thank you.
Good evening. I'll apologize right up front because by law, I do not bring capable people to help. Survey period determining the public's appetite for something like that and exactly what they were concerned about as far as having new money spent. And we discovered, as you may already know, that 49% of the public would accept a fee increase without any other information. And up to 56% would, depending on how we were going to agree to spend it. And there were two divides that are demographically and geographically in this county. The western part of Ada County is emphatic that we spend the money on congestion relief projects and capital projects. And the eastern part of the county wanted congestion management and capital projects, major projects, and projects that involved transit, mass transit. And as you may or may not know, it's absolutely against state law for us to use any funds other than the funds we receive from sales tax for mass transit. So we have approximately $1.7 million a year, and we dedicate quite a bit of that to infrastructure improvements for transit and for our commuter ride program. So what we're asking is that instead of the $40 scaled down registration fee for vehicles, that it be $70 scaled down based on the age of the vehicle. I'll get it. If it passes, it won't affect me too much because I drive old cars. But Anyway, I thought I'd open this up to some questions from you, because I am going to ask you for your support on this. As you remember, when we had our joint meeting with ACHD Commission and your council, you found out, hopefully, and believed us, that we really are interested in fixing some of the congestion causing effects of the growth in this part of Ada County. And what surprised me even more was how much the city of Meridian was willing to assist in that process. So it will be no problem, and the five of us on the ACHD Commission agree that this ought to be an area that receives a lot of attention in terms of congestion management. Also, neighborhood programs and community programs, which again, I made a mistake. The eastern part of the city wanted the community and neighborhood programs with the major projects, and then it was the transit related. But if we can put more sidewalks, curbs, and gutters type things on areas like the developments around Deer Flat and some of the others, there'd be a lot more kids who don't need rides from their mom to get to school or other places, and that is a form of congestion management in itself. Any questions?
And not to mention safety with the sidewalks.
Not to mention safety. And that's what a lot of our community programs, which Safe Routes to School is a huge part of, involves.
Right. So, Kent, one of the major things that we hear is that we grow our population and then we shut down roads and fix them. And it's basically because of the impact fee structure, so that when a subdivision builds out, that's when the money is collected. And then when the roads are too busy, that's when we shut them down and rebuild them. And I'm assuming that this would help assist with some of that, to help us get ahead of the curve on some of that stuff.
And just so you know, on the impact fees, right now we're charging as much as we possibly can under the statute. Approximately $3,400 a home that goes to the roads.
And I will say that they do a pretty good job of distributing that equally amongst everybody that pays into that system, and they're usually not off by very far.
No, I don't know if I'd actually say that accurately. I know we try, but when we look at during the year and the end of the year, how much money we receive from various municipal entities and their geography, that is almost absolutely returned.
Right.
There are other dollars, of course, other than what come from the different cities of the county itself. And those get spent a little differently. But the impact fees go into a big pot. And by law, they can be spent anywhere that they're needed and it's eligible. And here there's a lot of eligible, as well as a lot of needed.
Yeah.
So I'm not particularly concerned about that. Because, as you know, we on the commission are really concerned about this particular part of the county. So, and it's always a 5-0 vote, even if it's informal in a work session, as to how we're going to proceed to take care of things like this.
Questions for Kent?
Nothing, thank you.
Quick question for you, Kent. What does a scale down look like? Are we looking like 10 years or newer is going to pay the full 70, or are we looking at like 1 year, 2 year, 3 year? What does it look like?
Okay. Yeah, it's that is a question I have an answer to, as to exactly what page here it's on.
Oh, don't look too hard. It was just more curiosity, so.
We did actually find out, though, how little the appetite is for a property tax increase. It was actually a huge surprise, because it was only 6 or 8%.
Oh, wow.
It was to like 56 for the other, based on how it's spent. That's huge.
Wow.
into that. It's along the same the same age of vehicles that we have right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, don't worry about it. If you want to just send that to me when you have a chance, yeah. Appreciate it, Kent. Thank you.
Well, I would like to say that we appreciate the great partnership that we have with Ada County Highway District, and it's great working together like we do. And
it's something that keeps me smiling. It's good stuff.
Good.
So, can I ask you if we need to, by I guess the first meeting in September is when we're going to hammer out the final wording for the ballot measure, and it's our hope that we'll come to a more of a consensus, probably not on a formula, because as you might have heard or know, that when we had this discussion the other week, I made a motion that it be 50-50 based on the East and West desires for how the money was spent, and that was overridden. Unfortunately, the newspaper reported that I was against the registration fee increase, and all it was against the motion that actually passed, because it didn't include letting the public know how it was going to be spent. We'd had a number of people accuse us of maybe not spending enough based on when the registration fee was enacted, and so we pulled together all 90 or so projects that we've done with that money and proved down to the penny that we've kept our word, you know, as well.
Very good.
Thank you
very much. Next we have consideration to approve 18-04-LLA. It's a lot line adjustment for Ted Weimer, Sam Weiger, Planner 1 Action Team. Ted Weimer seeks approval of a series of lot line adjustments. The subject properties are located at 450, 478, and 498. North Franklin Avenue and 204 West 4th Street, Cuna, Idaho. Sam, are you going to report on this one?
Yes, sir. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, for the record, Sam Weiger, Cuna Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street. The application before you tonight are three lot line adjustments on four parcels within the Olathe subdivision. The four subject properties are located on North Franklin Avenue and West 4th Street, as you said already. Please note that on page 2 of the staff report, you'll see a before and after map of their proposal, and it's up here on the overhead as well. We determined that the application complies with Title 5 of the City Code and Title 67 of Idaho Code, and views the proposed lot line adjustment to be consistent with the surrounding uses, including the comprehensive plan, and we forward a recommendation of approval for case 18-04-LLA to CUNA City Council, and I'll stand for any questions you may have.
Okay, questions for Sam?
Everything in the packet made sense, thanks.
And we also do have the applicant there if you would like to ask any questions. I don't know if you wanted to.
Go ahead.
Okay.
478 is the wrong number. It's 470, but that's just a typo. Sam and I went around on a different one. We have problems with these numbers, but 470 is the right address on the right line. Yeah. 486 is the one that took out. Yeah. Several of these changes.
Come up.
Yeah, if you would come on up to the mic and just give your name and address for the record.
I'm Ted Weimer. I live at 2100 West Hubbard, Cuna. Several of these changes, we bought this property years ago thinking the church might want to expand, and so we're kind of hanging on to different parts of it for that purpose. We wanted to split off the one house because we don't need that. Several of the lot line adjustments had to do with ad hoc changes we had allowed the church, which is on the corner. So this makes that legal. So comment about the parking lot. We did have them pave part of my property with the idea that it was going to become the church's. So.
Okay.
Any questions?
Questions for Ted?
No, pretty self-explanatory. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Everything looks in order based on staff's recommendation and everything in the packet. I move we approve case number 1804LLA with the conditions of approval as listed.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve 18-04-LLA with the conditions. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Thank you, Ted. Item B is general fund budget review and consideration to adopt FY 2019 tentative budget. Bill Jackson.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Bill Jackson, Deputy Treasurer. In your packet was included an updated general fund review sheet, summary sheet, per our discussions at the last meeting, including all the information from the Parks Department. And there was a couple additions to that. And one of the additions is something new, and one was from the lower section that became a must-have. So you're looking at the new updated version, the numbers, where we're at. And hopefully tonight we can get this squared away and how you want to handle it, and we can get a budget, tentative budget set. And assuming from our last meeting we discussed, sound like the clarification was to go ahead and use the remaining foregone and go ahead with the 3% tax. Any questions?
So it seemed like last time we looked at this, we were looking at an overage, even if we took, if we levied everything we had available. But now it looks like we would have a surplus if we levied everything available. So what changed, or what? Because it sounded like we only added more things to pay for.
Right. We added more things with adjusted, but there was a couple numbers that were skewed that were doubled in a couple line items that I had to adjust out to make sure it's accurate for you.
Okay.
So we're at the 231 in the deficit. So based on that, in previous years, we've usually used the carryover, and the carryover looking at good at this point, which would balance it all out. Does that make sense?
I think so. So we're looking at right now an overage of about 231, 231 and a half.
That's correct.
And then we're looking at needing to decide if we're going to levy any additional taxes, but our total available there would be just under 319, right?
Correct.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
And so then the only caveat to that would be the other items that we didn't add as being in the budget, such as purchasing the green belt from Union City.
Right. I did make additions and deletions and adjust modifications per the last meeting,
right,
as you can see on there.
So that's kind of the only difference. There's a lot of things that we have talked about in the past doing that aren't included in the budget, so not necessarily that we need to put those in there, but I just kind of wanted to point that out, that that's...
And those are listed on page 2, is that right? The section 3 summary of material expenditures considered but excluded?
That's correct.
In case we wanted to
I think the only thing I moved up from there was the Parks truck. But Bobby made that a must-have versus them. That's the only item I moved up to the top section.
Okay. Does anybody have thoughts about anything?
I really think we ought to put the Allenbaugh House into the budget. That's in Section 3.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
12,348. The other thing is if we want to do the, so with the parks, they've been talking about the Anderson property and that acquisition for, that's the one that we're trying to put some parking out there to provide for some safety for the floaters at the creek because they'll park along Strobel Road there and that's getting quite dangerous. So that was something we were looking at eventually doing. Pretty much everything in that list is something that we really eventually need to get done, but obviously that's a little over a half a million dollars and we're not that good.
Is the Greenbelt acquisition, like, is that something we just need to, we could pull the trigger on at any time, or that's just we're hoping to negotiate something, and but there's nothing, like, actually on the table at this point?
There's nothing on the table at this point. I'm still waiting to hear back from their the lawyer team. I did get an email last month asking a few questions about what we'd be doing with the Greenbelt. Type of stuff. So they are still looking into it. We just haven't heard back.
Okay.
We haven't heard back yet.
Assuming we don't end up putting that as part of the budget, I would, of course, always be interested in having you bring that to us whenever something does come to fruition and just ask us to consider it out of contingency at that point or whatever funding you think might be appropriate.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That'd be perfect.
And that cost is actually the one that they gave us, right? That's
Originally talking to them, they told me that their internal team thought it was probably going to be $300,000 or so. So once we hear back from them and we get the okay, we can probably get it appraised and see where it goes from there.
Okay.
Good.
Did anybody have thoughts in terms of looking at whether we wanted to levy any additional taxes to cover some or all of these items?
Yeah, that's kind of where we're at is what we want to do here with the that second page of items, if we want to do some of those things, and then also what we're going to do on the 3%.
So my initial inclination is that it would make sense to, at a minimum, levy an amount that would allow us to cover the entirety of the Ada County Sheriff increase, logic being that that will be a recurring expense moving forward, and it's important to have a continuing source of income for a continuing expense. That's obviously less than the full amount we have available to levy, so we can talk about whether we still would want to levy the full amount, whether we would not want to, and if so, what we would exclude, et cetera. Does anybody have thoughts there? So we're looking at a total available levy of $318,952, and the Ada County Sheriff increase is $291,865.
I mean, if we're going to move Allenbaugh House up into Section 2 anyways and just take that 3%, would that make sense, the 318?
It certainly could, yeah. I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah, so the new construction rule, that's actually one that is just kind of a, that's one that we've always taken just because that is the expansion of the city and that's increasing our budget as the city grows. And then 3%, that usually is what fills the rest of the gap there. So the new construction role is kind of the one that we normally take, as well as annexation role and the, I don't even know what the solar farm substitute thing is, but.
That's money we get. I mean, give, in any case. Yeah, I mean, in years past, we had discussion about whether it makes sense to continue to take 3% in a growth period, just because we need to kind of keep up. I think last year we took both, the 3% and the foregone amount, which is why foregone is only $94. But that's always something that can disappear. It was one thing that we also talked about. If the legislature changes things, and then that wouldn't be available to us anymore. So may or may not be risky to forego the 3% sometimes.
Yeah, and then, you know, we were able to kind of get away from taking 3% in past years because, the sheriff's office, they went several years there without even asking for any kind of an increase. And that's kind of why we're seeing more in the last couple of years is playing catch up for the years that they didn't take any. So I think, like you said, we need to make sure that we cover those ongoing costs, even if there is, so if there is a downturn in the economy, we don't have to start laying off police officers and that type of thing. So,
and that 3% that sheriff's cost is also already rolled into that number,
right
up top. So just make
right.
sure. So if we took that out, we'd probably be on the other end of the spectrum on that one. So just to make sure we note that to you.
Right. Thank you.
Okay, so it sounded like there was a, is there agreement on moving Allenbaugh House up into the for sure we're going to pay for it section, section two?
Yes.
Okay. Any comments, Cardoza, on that?
I just feel the parks is getting hit pretty close to home. Before we go out of town, I would prefer to see the money spent locally.
Did you have something specific that you wanted to suggest?
Well, I leave it up to Bobby. He's the one being hit pretty hard as to what he thinks would be the most important thing on your hit list. I don't know what you do, but looks like everybody's angry at you.
Well, I felt pretty good because nobody wants to take away anything from Section 2, so... if we were going to add something up above, I would say look at the additional parking to Arbor Ridge or the spray rig, but everything in Section 3, I can also come back and ask council for contingency monies later on.
How much are we spending renting the spray rig or having it custom done or contracted out?
Right now, we kind of made our own. So it's kind of hard to tell exactly how much product we're putting down. We have a really good estimation, but the one that I put down here is state of the art, and it actually has a little cruise control button. So if you say you want to apply, you know, 4 gallons per acre. All you do is calculate it out, and then that's how fast you go. So there's no putting not enough or too much product on the grass.
Right, so now, when you get done spraying, you don't go, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So this baby walks, talks, and dances. Huh?
It does, yes.
How about, we've been lucky on Strobel Road. How about the upgrade in the parking lot at Anderson's. I went down that street last weekend. It was just kids everywhere, cars parked everywhere. I mean, it's almost a priority. Do you have a lot of calls down there, Chief? Have we had any major accidents down there? Let me ask you that.
For the record, John McKinney, Chief of Police, Councilman Cardoza. Yeah, in fact, the guys, we get called quite often. And it does cause, you know, it's one of those areas where we need the police because we know that the people don't really have an option, but at times, you know, we get called down there. It's a hard thing to work through. The people that call us want us to enforce and tow, and we really, really hate to do that. And so,
John, can you check that the mic's on?
It is now.
Thank you.
Could you repeat everything? What, have we had any serious accidents down there, Chief?
I can't remember any serious ones. I know we've. I know the guys have talked about one of my female deputies has even seen an almost accident happen in front of her, and so we, you know, we concur with Parks that we would like that to be a priority.
Okay, thank you, Chief. That's kind of where I'm looking. To be honest with you, Bobby, I'm kind of different than Ada County Highway. That they don't want to put a stop sign in until people get injured. I prefer to be active in trying to avoid injury. But I don't know if we can pave that without purchasing it. Or
well, how about I look into purchasing it and then bring that back to council? Because if not, we can still work off our lease agreement that we have with them, with the Andersons,
okay.
Until we can come to some sort of agreement on the property itself.
Do you have any idea what the capacity would be once we got that property? And
it depends on how much we take out. If we take out where the old, I'm assuming, where the cows walked up to get milked.
Mm-hmm.
If we took all that out, then we would open up a lot more area. But for right now, I'm thinking probably, you know, 40, 50, maybe 60 cars off the road.
Wow.
with what we can get right now.
I don't think there's that many right now along the road, so we would hopefully take all the cars off the road at this time.
Yeah, that's the goal. And maybe eventually set up a transit system from a spot in town so people could, you know, go park there, be hauled out there, and then be picked up and brought back to their car type of thing.
Okay.
And you're not planning on milking cows?
Well, you know, it could help bring in some money. You never know.
Is Ada County going to put crosswalks there for us? Do you know?
I don't know. We can definitely talk to them.
Okay.
I'm sure that's a discussion that we'll need to have with them.
I think a lot of times when, you know, when we show that we're putting skin in the game like that, that Ada County Highway District is most likely willing to help. And
I'm just flabbergasted when you make the curve off Cuna Road onto Strobel and you get down about halfway to Unser's Farm on the left-hand side, the east side, how many kids I just see running back and forth from one car to the other, out in the street, back. It scares the hell out of me to drive down that road. So, to me, that's probably a priority before somebody gets seriously hurt. I'm not going to say it's going to avoid it because they'll still run out, but maybe the parents will have time to collect them and help them walk across the street. So
Bobby, this figure in here of the acquisition is completely separate what we talked about already in the lease agreement. If we were to just maintain the lease agreement, this figure can kind of just go away in the meantime, right?
I'd say that one more time.
So the lease agreement we have with the Andersons,
mm-hmm.
This $80,000 we have in the budget that's been excluded, is that separate what we've talked about in the lease agreement, or is that $80,000? I'm just, my memory's not all that.
That's just the figure thrown in there for the possible acquisition.
The full acquisition.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a feeling it's going to be larger than that. when it's said and done. So I would prefer that one stay kind of at where it's at, with kind of an earmark that I potentially could be coming to ask for money for that.
And sorry, just clarify, is the $10,000 just for paving then, or?
The $10,000 would be what any upgrades we need to do that year. I don't know if we want to go through and pave it yet, because we don't own the property, and I don't want to put that much money into it without owning it.
So what would the $10,000 go for? Like, I know upgrades, but more specifically, like, what upgrades?
There's fencing, right?
Yeah, fencing, and then taking out some of the concrete area, like I described earlier,
okay,
where the cows walked up to milk, cleaning some of that area up, and potentially getting some sort of waiver station out there so people can sign a waiver before floating the creek. That might be a couple more years down the road, because we'll do as much as we can with the $10,000.
So there.
So are you wanting to move anything around? Rich?
It's up to the rest of you. It's just, I think one of my priorities in driving around town is that area. So.
Okay.
Recreation is becoming more and more of a thing here in the community as we grow, basically. So.
I don't think that requires you to move anything around, though, just because they have the lease agreement, right? Said I don't think that requires you to move anything around just because we already have that lease agreement to start parking there next year, right? So if we just don't touch it, we're still going to be moving cars off the road regardless. Okay.
Did you have anything that you wanted to move then, Rich, or no?
I wouldn't mind taking that out of the reserves if we have to get it up there. So.
Taking what?
Out of the contingency if we have to.
The upgrades or the acquisition?
Oh, the upgrades.
The $10,000.
Yes, I'm sorry. So. We might be moving in the right direction if we at least do that. So.
Okay.
So based on the estimation for the reserves at the end of this fiscal year, the 1,968,000, and we take the 231 and 231, 437, and then we also take all, if you took all the sections from the section below, you're probably looking about 1.2 change left in reserve starting for beginning of next year, approximately, just to give a total picture of the whole thing. So if you took everything from below.
So. Okay. My personal preference is to try to leave the reserves intact at this point, just because, I mean, I know that we're already talking about that 1.2 figure would encompass, for example, the $300,000 for the Greenbelt acquisition and that sort of thing. I don't know. I mean, I guess we could go ahead and budget for it, and it's not as if we would for sure. It sounds like it's still somewhat up in the air, but. I wouldn't mind having it just come to council on its own. It's a pretty big expenditure.
Right.
I don't know what other folks think.
Yeah, I agree.
So it sounds like I've heard a request to move Allenbaugh House up and the Anderson property upgrades, those two items, to Section 2. Is there objection to that? Am I stating anything incorrectly? And then are there any other things that people feel strongly about moving one way or the other?
I agree with those two. I also think that that spray rig is probably going to save us enough in product because it increases the accuracy that it would probably pay for itself fairly soon. What would you guess on that, Bobby? I don't know how much we spend on product every year, but.
On spray, we probably spend close to $12,000 a year on Roundup and 2,4-D by itself. So this will kind of help us monitor that and probably buy less and less every year.
And probably is a little faster with the application.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit quicker, and we won't have staff spending so much time.
Save some more man hours and that type of thing.
Okay, any objections to moving the spray rig up?
No.
Thank you.
I didn't think that you would have an objection to that. Anything else?
At 12,000, it would take us 3 years to even break even. Would it be easier to buy them a hand spreader and let them just walk and spray? Are material costs is about $12,000 a year?
Well, it's more staff than anything, because at that point we can get stuff done a lot faster, so I can have staff do other things. So there's not just a cost savings with chemical; it's with a little bit of everything.
What's the life expectancy of the spreader? I mean, how many years?
That's a loaded question.
If it's taken care of,
if it's taken care of, we can probably get 10 years out of it.
10 years.
We got a really good staff, and we push everything we have to its max. So.
So about 3,000 a year use. Okay. Okay. I hate to take that to contingency down too far because.
Well, at this point, I mean, I'm viewing it as not even thinking about contingency. I'm looking at, we're sitting at the preliminary deficit prior to even looking at contingency is 231,437, and we have available a total levy of 318,952. So, to my mind, so we have about 87,000 to work with. If we wanted to move anything from Section 3. So at this point, we've already moved Allenbaugh House at about 12.5 and the Anderson property upgrades at 10. So there's still room to move the spray rig if we wanted to as well without having to touch contingency. That's how I'm looking at it.
But you're looking at a total taxation of everything that's available.
If we were to take that.
And 318,000.
Right, if we were to take the full levy amount. Which just nobody's really said very much about not wanting to do that. So I don't know if there is an interest in not taking the full amount, and if so, which areas we wouldn't be taking it in or what exactly we're thinking of there.
Maybe that would be the proper discretion for right now is figure out where we want to go with that.
So I guess the question is everybody agreeable on a 3% increase on the largest three-year levies?
I think what we need to keep in mind is we've been, with the growth and the economy, things have been really good. I can't imagine that there's not going to be some kind of a hiccup in the economy at some point in time, somewhat soon. That's where we're going to end up in trouble. We already have a really low levy rate. We're still down around a 3. Cities can be up to a 9. We're very comparable with surrounding cities. In fact, when the school was going for their bond, they put our levy rate with their levy rate to make them look better. So I think we're doing a really good job with the money that we have. We haven't been taxing the heck out of people for things, so I don't think that we're really being overly aggressive by taking the 3%. I think we're fairly reasonable where we're at. So that's my opinion.
Is everybody agreeable to that 3%?
What? I am, but, I mean, just to make sure my head's wrapped around it.
Sure.
We're looking at a deficit right now, 231. And if we were to take nothing in that levy, that full 231 is coming straight out of
contingency. Right.
Right? And in a good economy, if we keep that built up, if something were to crash, we are protected if we can not go into that pulling from contingency because we keep contingency up. So is my head wrapped around that properly?
Yeah, so that's why we took the full amount last year, because last year the amount that the police were asking for actually exceeded the total levy available. So we knew we were going to have to dip into contingency a little bit just to even cover that, but we tried as much as we could to cover an increase for a recurring budget item with recurring income, versus if we dipped into a contingency for it last year, we'd have to do that every single year. And so at some point in the future, you know, we would have exhausted, in theory, our entire contingency.
Yeah, and at some point, if we move everything up that we talked about and still take the full 3%, we're utilizing that 3% to its fullest extent. So my head's wrapped around that completely. Right, it makes sense to just stick with that 3%. So.
Okay.
Yep. I concur.
Greg?
I'm good with it.
I do think, I haven't checked the stats lately, but I know I've mentioned this before. As of within the last couple of years, I know we had the sixth lowest taxes in the entire state. So I do think we try hard not to overburden folks. And with the increase in tax value and just the increase of the tax rolls generally, it's not a huge increase. Even though it is the 3%, it's not a huge increase to each person or to each household. So
just to add on to that, I think one reason we're in the position we are is our staff, their willingness. We don't force them to have a use it or lose it type of budget. They're pretty conservative. They always look for a good deal. The one reason that we have a lot of carryover is they don't go out and purchase something if they don't really think it's going to be the right product for what we're doing. Sometimes things that we approve the purchase of doesn't even happen that year, and so it gets carried over into future years, and that's one reason our carryover looks as good as it does. I think we do a really good job as far as that goes in the use of taxpayer dollars.
So the average tax would be about $32 a year. I'd say the average home's about $200,000 now.
But it is taxable value, right? Or am I
right,
misreading? So if the average home is $200, they're only paying on $100. Am I reading that right? So it is only $16 if it's a $200,000 house because of the homeowner's exemption.
Does that include the homeowner's exemption then? Okay. 50% up to $100,000.
Yep.
So it would be 50% up to $100,000, and then it would be 100% from $100,000 to $200,000.
That sounds pretty accurate, yes, Mayor. I mean, Councilman Ricardozo.
Okay.
And then growth also affects that number, too, so it's also skewed a little bit that way.
Yeah.
So it's never as high as it appears it will be, so.
Okay.
So do we don't need an actual motion, right? Or do we?
It depends on if we're to the point of wanting to put this together and advertise, because we have to get this advertised fairly soon.
Mayor Richard Rhodes, for the record, you're correct. For the advertisement, I don't know the cutoff date, but to put it out there, yes, it will require a motion.
Okay. I remember in years past reading a lot of numbers, so what would need to be in the motion? Just the total, I don't know. I'm not even going to guess.
We'll have to provide it to you.
Do that before.
Oh, is it in here? Did I miss it? No. Oh, okay, good. I was
kind of waiting to see where the numbers came
from. Oh, sure, sure.
And Council President Buben-Vanderhaar, if you'd include, it's the tentative budget in your motion.
Sure. So do I need to make a couple changes to this based on if we're moving some things from Section 3 to 2?
No, it's been adjusted. I mean, it's a tentative, but we will adjust to the revenue with the contingencies for the expenses.
I'm not sure I follow. So we were interested in moving three items from Section 3 to Section 2. I was under the impression Section 3 is thus far not included in totals.
That's correct.
Okay. So do we need to change numbers if we have moved things from 3 to 2?
We would need to.
It would have to be in the motion, wouldn't it?
Right. That's what I'm asking.
Yes. We would have to by that amount. Motion.
So do I just change, like, the overall general fund number?
Yes.
Or?
Yes.
Okay, and that I just add the three items that we wanted into general, and is that the only thing that changes on this then? Or
correct.
Obviously the grand total then also?
Well, the grand total will, yes.
But just those two?
Yes.
And we don't need to say anything about what we're levying at this point? Is that accurate or no?
We need to include the. Did you already include the 3% in the reconstruction roll? That's included in the general fund number.
Yes.
Okay. So all we got to do is add in the three items there that we've moved up.
Should be $58,348, if I did it correctly.
Got the same number, so.
Very nicely done.
3, 2, 3, 4, 20.
Bill's made it so easy. The third line down, he's actually told us how to make a motion. $3,197,481.
Yes. Okay.
Did we have to add that to general fund or just the city grand total? Doesn't matter.
Both.
Oh,
I did them both. Okay. I move we adopt the following fiscal year budget ending September 30th, 2019. Tentative budget by fund would include general fund at $7,323,420. Capital Projects Fund, $685,500. Grant Fund, $1,214,216. Park Impact Fee and Capital Projects Fund, $851,286. Water Fund, $8,044,638. Well Mitigation Fund, $0. Sewer Fund, $7,730,861. Irrigation Fund, $3,295,360. Solid Waste Fund, $2,029,335. Latecomers Fund, $1,779,951. Agency Fund, $242,915. For a city grand total of $33,197,481, with a public hearing set for 6 p.m. on Tuesday, September 4th, 2018, at CUNA City Hall. Is there a second?
I second that.
All right. Motion has been made and seconded to approve for advertisement the budget. The total amount is going to be $33,197,481, with a public hearing set for 6 p.m. Tuesday, September 4th, 2018, at CUNA City Hall. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries. Very good. Thank you, Bill. I know you put a lot of work into this, and appreciate that so much.
At this time, Mayor, does the motion have to include taxation?
I think
with the budget, or is that
I think
a separate
we've included
motion?
The numbers, so. We didn't include that in the motion, just the total numbers, which.
Does that have to be included in the motion for the taxation?
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Next item is consideration to approve ordinance number 2018-27. This is an ordinance of the City of Cuna, Idaho, annexing a portion of the government lot 1, section 19, township 2, North Range 1 East, owned by SDN LLC, into the Cuna Municipal Irrigation District from the Boise Cuna Irrigation District, changing the respective boundaries of said districts, declaring water rights appurtenant thereto, are pooled for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded as provided by law, and providing an effective date.
Okay. I move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2018-27.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to
waive
the three readings of Ordinance 2018-27. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve Ordinance 2018-27.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance number 2018-27. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve a summary publication of ordinance 2018-27.
Motion's made and seconded. Okay. Sorry, give me time. Motion's made and seconded to approve a summary publication of ordinance number 2018-27. Those in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion carries. Item B is consideration to approve ordinance number 2018-28, an ordinance of the City of Cuna, Idaho, annexing all of the parcel S14073152500 and referred to as Patagonia Subdivision Number 3, which is owned by Patagonia Development Incorporated, into the Cuna Municipal Irrigation District from the New York Irrigation District, changing the respective boundaries of said districts, declaring water rights appurtenant thereto, are pooled for delivery purposes, directing that copies of this ordinance be recorded and provided by law, and providing an effective date.
I move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2018-28.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of Ordinance number 2018-28. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? That motion carries.
I move we approve Ordinance 2018-28.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Ordinance number 2018-28. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
Yes.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve summary publication of Ordinance 2018-28.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve a summary publication of Ordinance 2018-28. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? Motion carries. Item C, consideration to approve Ordinance number 2018-29. This is an ordinance annexing certain real property, to wit, parcel number S13261313800, owned by Stephanie L. Cortez, situated in the unincorporated area of Ada County, Idaho, and contiguous to the corporate limits of the City of Cuna, into the City of Cuna, Idaho, establishing the zoning classification of said real property, directing that copies of this ordinance be filed as provided by law, and providing an effective date.
I move we waive three readings of Ordinance 2018-29.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings of Ordinance number 2018-29. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries.
I move we approve Ordinance 2018-29.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Ordinance number 2018-29. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Cardoza?
I think I'll abstain from this. I abstain on the others. They are a very good friend of the family and a neighbor. So.
Okay.
Councilmember Christensen?
Yes.
Council President Boobin Vonderhaar?
Yes.
Councilmember McPherson?
Yes.
I move we approve summary publication of Ordinance 2018-29.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve Ordinance 2018-29. Chris, would you pull the... we did that. Sorry. Consideration to approve summary publication of Ordinance number 2018-29. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And that motion carries. And that's it.
I'm sorry, Mayor. Can I clarify?
Yes.
Councilmember Cardoza, did you abstain also on the summary publication and the waiving of the three readings?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So, Mayor Council announcements. Chief and I spent the day smelling around, trying to figure out what we could find out. I think what we got out of that was we were fairly certain that it is not a public health risk, although we can't say that definitively because we still have not found the source.
Can you back up a step? I don't know what you're talking about.
There's everything. We're in the news because CUNA stinks.
No, I genuinely I haven't heard about this.
So Intermountain Gas in the last couple of days have received, so yesterday morning and this morning there was a smell.
Okay.
Intermountain Gas over the last 2 days has received 100 calls of gas leaks.
Oh.
And they've investigated and found nothing that has to do with Intermountain Gas.
How do I not know about this? I watch the news.
So there's a lot of people, and the odd thing is it's a pretty widespread area where the calls are coming from, and it's pretty intense by most reports.
So where, general area?
Bob was saying that when he went in the building over here in the morning, they didn't want to turn on power tools because they thought there was a gas leak that could explode. And it's coming from Cunamore Road all the way to, what was it, Victory and 10 Mile. There was complaints out there, too.
And yeah, so they smelled pretty strong at home in 10 Mile.
So. Yeah, and so we've had several theories, and right now we're just kind of doing process of elimination. Where we're at with that now is Intermountain Gas is providing us with a map that coordinates times and locations of their calls.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're hoping to do, also with the fire district, and so kind of what we're hoping to do is narrow it down to as small an area as we can by time and location and see if we can come up with something that way. But it is kind of baffling because of the, I mean, normally you would smell a smell, but it wouldn't be that strong. So
it's just like a rotten egg. I've been smelling garlicky in the morning. Is that the smell
people
is?
People have said that smell too.
Is that right? That's so weird.
So several people have described it as different. A lot of people said it smelled like asphalt.
Okay.
Some people said it smelled like gas.
I was very mad at my cat when I woke up.
That's the other one. His cat urine was very common.
Well, I hope you made it up to your cat.
I did.
We have small like a cross between propane and natural gas.
Huh. Interesting. Well, now I'm very... I see CUNA Muscle all the time. I'm surprised I haven't heard. I've been lucky, I guess.
Mayor?
Yeah.
It's not coming from our ponds, is it? Because I've smelled the ponds occasionally in the summer coming from the south.
No, because it's been when the wind's been blowing
from every direction you can smell. It's morning, noon, and night.
And that's
different wind speeds.
I really have been smelling garlic only in the mornings, though, and I just assumed it was a neighbor or something.
That's the odd part, is when the temperature's low and the humidity's high is when the smell is the strongest, which is exactly opposite of what you would get the other way. So.
And I promise I didn't spray anything because I had about 90 of those phone calls today.
Well, keep us informed.
So we'll keep looking. And
the mystery continues.
We do have, through the fire district, we do have means to detect if things are toxic. And the one reading that they took today didn't show any. It was zeros. But that was more afternoon, so we don't know. If it smells like that again in the morning, then we'll start going around different areas and taking readings to see.
At this point, would it be helpful or not helpful to set up some sort of thing on our website where people can submit encounters? Or do we feel like we have enough information from Intermountain Gas? Do you guys have a good sense?
Go ahead, Chief, if you want.
Yeah, that's a great question. I know that the press release that the fire department put out today did encourage them to, you know, folks to either call, you know, into the fire station or Intermountain Gas, if they believe it's gas again. Intermountain Gas believes they've ruled that out, but we're encouraging calls in the dispatch fire department because we, in fact, in the morning, I think we're going to stand up the command post one more time and just have everybody, there were several of us there from different agencies. We are in contact with DEQ and others, really trying to kind of put together this puzzle.
Yeah.
And so they're mapping, Intermountain Gas is giving us a GIS of all the 100 and something different calls, and we're layering in wind directions by the hour and trying
That's
to
amazing.
Really.
So if I might make a suggestion, I don't know if somebody from the city might be savvy with, like, even with just doing like a SurveyMonkey type, like, or a Google Docs form that you can fill out, where we could tell people go to our website, they would click on the link, and then we could have like preset fields where they could put, you know, their address, the time of day they smelled it. We could have little check boxes or free text fields for what did you think it smelled like, stuff like that. Like, I think a Google Docs would be pretty easy, like I said, or maybe SurveyMonkey, and those are
we
free.
We actually have we have the ability to do survey on the website, so we can just do some boxes in the morning, something simple.
Okay, yeah, whatever's going to yield, like, useful information that won't be too hard to turn into something else. It'll be another opportunity for us to let people know about our website. Like,
sure.
Hey.
Yeah.
So we can post that on, once I get set up, can we make sure we post it on, like, QNMS Know and whatever? And maybe if we have media inquiries, we can give it to them, too. We're encouraging people to report when they smell it so we can solve the mystery.
Yeah.
Here's how.
Sure.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, so if the odor occurs again tomorrow morning, then that's exactly what we'll do. So the chief and I initiated setting up the command post at CUNA Fire. They have the equipment there that the Ada City County Emergency Management System, through the grants, set up for them. This is actually the first time they've used that we know of in any kind of a command situation. So it worked good. CUNA Fire is actually the lead agency because of the type of incident that it is. So they are the charge agency, and we're assisting, and police is assisting, and Intermountain Gas was very helpful. They had a crew out there helping us today, looking around and determining, letting us know what they knew. And
I guess one other thing I'll mention about the, if we're going to do a survey thing, is just making sure we talk to police or Intermountain or whoever that would be able to give us any additional suggestions for useful information to collect. So if it's like beyond, obviously, address, time, and then like what you felt like you smelled.
Yeah.
And if you think it would be helpful for us to just put, I mean, there can be a free text box other and then fill it in, but if there are kind of ones that other people are smelling and we feel like it would probably fall into those categories to help us better identify whatever. So, yeah, if you want to just give any suggestions to Chris then. That'd be great.
I'm not sure what left. I think Intermountain Gas had some thoughts on that as well. So.
Okay. Yeah, anything else that would be helpful, just so we don't have to, we can collect all the good data at the beginning.
Okay, good.
Interesting.
They have.
I narrowed it down.
Cuna Days
restaurant.
Yeah.
Cuna Days was a big hit. He didn't have a lot of. I don't think there was a lot of policing incidents. It looked like by the police blotter, there was a couple of fights and things like that that we normally expect when we have, I don't know how many thousand people show up in Cuna.
Yeah,
we were
very happy with it. Was, you know, besides a few fights on Friday night and a few fights on Saturday night that were quickly dispersed. I think we had a domestic and some lost kids, but it was very safe for all the participants, so we're happy to report that.
The police behaved themselves, John?
Absolutely, yes.
How did the dance go? Did we have any problems with the dance?
No, dance was really good. We probably had a few less people there than we maybe would have expected, but there was no, as far as I know, there wasn't any incidents of anybody. I never even saw anybody getting loud, so except for the band, they got a little loud a couple times. But no, it was really good. I think it was a great event. It turned out the way we had hoped it would, so that we can, you know, consider doing it in future years. And the Down and Dirty was awesome. Our crews made a heck of a. They make some quality mud, I'll tell you what.
They're good at making a mess.
And parade was nice. I think everybody put a lot of work into it, but it was all well worth it. So very proud of the way Cuna Days came out.
Good fireworks.
Yeah.
Oh, as always.
Yeah. We're going to work with Union Pacific next year just to work on the signage and things. They wanted a lot of cars towed, and we were able to work with the chamber and get it kind of announced so we didn't have to tow a bunch of cars. But people were parking way too close to the track. So,
oh.
And they were referencing the new law that's been in the paper just quite a bit lately that was passed, that, you know, the signage doesn't have to be what it used to be able to be cited in the court or arrested for trespassing.
We might want to be careful about that, or we might have the trains towed. Yeah. They park down there.
So we're going to work through that with their contacts.
Good. All right. Does anybody else have anything? It is National Night Out, so Chief and I are going to go make some rounds and meet up with some of the HOAs. Okay. Meeting adjourned.